Listen. Hello? We go out, we hit people in the mouth.
You play to win the game.
Next fan up.
I want winners.
Featuring Pod Vader and the Superfans.
They are who we thought they were.
Hello and welcome to a very special edition of Next Fan Up. I am Pod Vader. I will be joined shortly by all of our super fans as we present to you the Super Fan Super Mock Draft. We will go over every single pick in the first round of the upcoming NFL draft, each superfan acting as if they were the general manager of their team. Important to note, during this exercise, this is what each superfan wants their team to do. This isn't what they expect their team to do. This is what they want their team to do. So important to note that there are trades, and we'll definitely discuss why those trades were made by those particular superfans as they come up. But we've got a lot to get through. This is a two-parter, folks, and you're listening to part one right now.
With the first pick in the NFL draft.
And so with our first pick here in the Superfan Supermock draft, we're joined by Daniel Coyne. He is our Tampa Bay Buccaneers superfan, and he has done something totally out of the box. No, he hasn't. He went with Florida State quarterback Jameis Winston. Now, Daniel, we've had plenty of conversations this offseason about Jameis Winston, Marcus Mariota. Jameis, he's definitely a pro-style quarterback. Everyone seems to agree the skills on the field are legit. The problem is his skills off the field tend to be a little questionable. So you ultimately went and did what most people think is going to happen on Thursday. You picked Jameis Winston. What was ultimately your guider? What was your ultimate guide here with this pick?
I think if you're picking with the first pick, you're looking for a high floor. As much as you're looking for that high ceiling, you want someone who's going to come in and contribute from day one. And especially with a quarterback, you want them to pick up the offense really quickly and gel with teammates. And I think with the Buccaneers, it's a little bit different because there's a margin for error almost with the talent they have on offense already. They've got those two big wide receivers on the outside in Mike Evans and Vincent Jackson, who both put up over 1,000 yards last year, you know, in a pretty terrible offense with Josh McCown. So if they can do it with him, then adding Jameis to the mix is only going to improve matters. So to be honest, I don't think they could get any worse than where they were at quarterback, but you can't win in this league without one. So I kind of had to go with the proven product and who's going to make the easiest transition.
Now, was there any temptation at all to go with any of these other picks? You know, coming up later on in this draft, there's going to be guys, many believe the safest pick in the draft, defensive tackle out of USC, Leonard Williams. Did you think anything at all about maybe taking one of these other top guys at another position?
I'll tell you what, at the start of the off season, I was looking for any way not to take one of these quarterbacks because there are flaws off the field with Jameis and I think on the field with Marcus. If there was a top tackle or guard, I would have taken them in a heartbeat. And you mentioned Leonard Williams. He is fantastic. I know a lot of analysts have got him number one on their board, but from what I've seen, he doesn't fit in the Tampa 2, you know, Lovey style system, because we've already got Gerald McCoy and he's a similar weight to Leonard Williams. So there was no real temptation there. The one guy I would have looked at was Dante Fowler, potentially at right end, but that was my only temptation really outside of Jameis.
So when you come back with pick number one on day two, who are you hoping is still there for you to fill up some of the other needs? Because when you're picking number one, you clearly have a lot of needs.
Tampa's problems really started with the offensive line. I don't think Josh McCown is as bad a quarterback as he showed last year, and I think could have had a lot more success with a better offensive line. So I think on day two, once we've got that quarterback, because we're in the position where we kind of have to take one with that first overall pick, I would look to shore up the right-hand side of the line in particular And one player I've tagged, you know, who could fill that role really well and is being considered one of the safest picks in the draft is Laken Tomlinson, the guard out of Duke, who's very technically sound and will be able to come in and protect Jameis, hopefully. Very intelligent guy. And that would be the direction I would go.
All right. Well, that's our Tampa Bay Bucks super fan, Daniel. You can tell that he's from across the pond, as we like to say. And, you know, good luck to you. And I really hope for Buccaneer fans' sake that, you know, Jameis Winston has it all together, but I'm not sold.
Hey, it's a shame we're by the seaboard because there's lots of crabs there. So.
All right, Daniel, good luck.
Thank you very much.
At pick number two, we have the Tennessee Titans. And in an interesting move, the two quarterbacks that we've been talking about all offseason have gone 1-2. Marcus Mariota, the Oregon quarterback, goes here at pick number two. Our Bears superfan, Tom, joins us now as our Titans superfan has been indisposed. Tom, what do you think of the pick here of Marcus Mariota to the Tennessee Titans?
Well, it's interesting. You know, there are a few things that run through your mind here at this spot. The Titans have a lot of needs. They're transitioning from a 4-3 into a 3-4 defense under Ray Horton. It's a great hire, by the way. He's a pretty good defensive coordinator. He coached the Browns to number 9 in total defense last year. But that means that you're trying to fit 4-3 personnel into a 3-4, so there are a lot of needs there. And so the first option here is to trade back, but in order to do that, you have to find somebody that's willing to pay the price, and that may not be so easy. Essentially, you're going to need somebody who wants Marcus Mariota really bad. Given that that was not the case here, the second thing you have to decide is what you want to do at quarterback, you know. And, you know, despite claims otherwise, I think there's a legitimate argument to be made that you don't get an opportunity to take a franchise quarterback very often. If you're going to take a guy, this is the, you know, it's the year to do it because you're sitting at number two. Marcus Mariota is sitting there on the board. So maybe you decide to take him rather than a Leonard Williams or a Dante Fowler or somebody who might be able to help you transition onto that defense. And that was the decision here.
See, I would, I'm a Zach Mettenberger fan. I think, you know, his year one was very typical of a lot of quarterbacks year one. So I think they still need to give him a little bit more time to show if he's for real or if he's not. And I think that they would have been better if they couldn't trade down. And that seems to be everybody's advice to the Tennessee Titans right now is to trade down or try and trade for Phillip Rivers if they can possibly land Phillip Rivers. If they couldn't trade down to go with the safest pick in this draft, and that seems to be everybody's talking about Leonard Williams, the defensive tackle out of USC. Because I do not think – let's put it this way. I believe in Marcus Mariota, but if I already have a quarterback that I'm sort of believing in and there's even a slight question mark about Mariota and if he can make the transition to the pros, then go with the safe pick here. I'm not 100%. I'm not sold on picking Mariota here for the Titans. I think they could have done better maybe going with the defensive tackle out of USC, but we'll see how it really plays out.
I totally agree with you, Jay. But I'll play devil's advocate for you. Let's say they're not blowing smoke. Let's say that, you know, Wiz and Hunt and these guys, they really do like Mettenberger. You know, back in the day when Jimmy Johnson took over the Cowboys at 1-15 or whatever they were, they took two top quarterbacks. I mean, and in the end, they made a decision to keep one. Troy Aikman, and trade away the other, I think it was Steve Walsh. That was a priority for Johnson taking over that team. And you can make an argument, okay, it's number two overall, a very valuable pick. I love Leonard Williams, and I would have traded down if at all possible. I agree with all your points. But there are worse things to do than to have two franchise quarterbacks on your roster, figuring you'll pick the one that works out best. And, you know, I think everyone agrees Mariota is better off developing for a year anyway. And then you just trade the other one away and you try to make both of them as valuable as you can. Given the value of quarterbacks in the league, maybe you can make something out of this pick later down the line when the time comes when maybe you can trade for more draft picks and trade away one quarterback and keep the other.
Well, while you and I might think that, it's a lot of fantasy football there. We haven't seen a lot of quarterback movement in the league. I think even the talk of trading for Phillip Rivers, while I brought it up, I sort of bring it up tongue in cheek. I don't think there's any possible way Phillip Rivers gets dealt, and certainly not before the draft, despite all of the rhetoric that's coming out of San Diego. But you know, while I think it's a perfect move in Madden football. Go ahead, take Marcus Mariota, pick the better of the two quarterbacks and then trade the other one away. I think that's absolutely brilliant maneuvering. I just don't think in the real world we see that sort of thing happening. Tom, thanks for stepping in, and we will we'll certainly hear from you later on in the draft.
All right, thanks, Jay.
All right, pick three as the Superfan Super Mock Draft rolls along. We are now joined by the Jaguar Superfan, Ryan Mercier. Ryan, you ended up taking defensive tackle Leonard Williams from USC as the two top quarterbacks were off the board. Were you hoping a quarterback fell to you here, or were you happy with what you ended up with?
When we were doing the mock draft, this is exactly what I wanted. I wanted the two quarterbacks to go, even though now apparently I'd have to root very hard against Marcus Mariota. And I wanted who is, you know, almost unanimously said to be the best pick in the draft, and that's Leonard Williams. And he was just the obvious choice to me. You give Gus Bradley a guy like that, and I think the team gets better. So Leonard Williams is who I wanted, especially, as I said, at the time of the mock draft. As it gets a little closer, these trade talks are a little more interesting to me, but getting Leonard Williams, the Jacksonville Jaguars are extremely, extremely happy. He doesn't exactly fit a specific need, but who doesn't need the best player in the draft?
Well, see, that's where I was going to go with you next. I know you guys have a history of drafting defensive linemen. Now, Leonard Williams might not be some of those other defensive linemen that I might be sort of referencing. But, you know, does it scare you taking another defensive lineman here early in the draft?
I think you might be alluding to maybe Derek Harvey. Maybe go back a little bit there, or Tyson Alualu. It doesn't scare me. Alualu's name was just kind of, you know, not only is it sort of an odd name, but nobody had heard of him, and that was very surprising. And then I was trusting that pick, and turns out he's just kind of a solid starter. Derek Harvey was a complete disaster. And I would, you know, more Jaguars fans, including myself, are more worried about is if it was Dante Fowler Jr. at number three, because he's a defensive end from Florida. Leonard Williams, though, you know, I don't think we got to draft any of these players who are said to be the best player in the draft, except for, some people forget, Blaine Gabbert was actually talked about as a number one pick at times. I'll just throw that out there. They weren't crazy, you know. But Leonard Williams is like, he's the least scary pick out of anybody, right? I mean, Jameis Winston, you got talent, but you don't know off the field, blah, blah, blah. Marcus Mariota, you don't know if he fits in the NFL. Leonard Williams is like, this is the least scary thing. This is like a cuddly puppy dog or something. You're not going to be afraid of, I don't know. I'm probably the first person to compare him to. You get what I'm saying.
I would dare say he's probably the least talk about safest pick in the draft, and that's usually the sign of a good thing. What are you hoping for later on in this draft for the Jaguars?
Well, definitely a running back, because, you know, we have Toby Gerhart, who was a disappointment. Denard Robinson, who I love. I'm just not sure he's a full-time guy. But it's just tricky. Do they take him at the very top of the second round is where they would have him, or wait until the third round where there will be some guys? I know there's a couple guys I like more than others. And also with some other needs, they signed Steven Wisniewski from the Raiders, so maybe the interior offensive line isn't as much of a need. So for me, any linebacker you have is a need, and also safety I still feel is a need, as well as pass rusher. But running back is the first one that came to mind.
All right, Ryan, good job. We'll talk to you later down the road.
All right, thank you.
All right, we're now at pick four. It's the Oakland Raiders. Monty Ressler is the super fan, and you have chosen the wide receiver from Alabama, Amari Cooper. And I did a little bit of the reading up on what the super fans were talking about as the draft was happening online. And you feel extremely happy with this pick.
The way the mock draft broke down is kind of like the worst case scenario as a Raiders fan, because both the quarterbacks went and then the highest rated player in the draft went. So from my perspective, I would love it if the Raiders could trade down and get more picks. You don't get to consistently pick in the top 10 of the draft if you don't have a lot of holes to fill. That being said, the three biggest names that I think people would trade and give an RG3 or Julio Jones type deal are off the board. So it really kind of came down between Amari Cooper and Kevin White. And I guess I know a lot of people like Kevin White. He's got a high ceiling, but I just felt that Amari Cooper was a safer play. It just seems like he's got a good work ethic, and he's got a higher basement. Like, he's not going to, you know, he might not be the awesomest player you've ever seen at wide receiver, but he's less likely to be a bust. So pretty happy with Amari Cooper. I'm hoping that he can gel with David Carr and, you know, just kind of start building from there.
Nice. So other needs that the Raiders have, any particular reason why you decided to go wide receiver over, say, defensive end, corner?
Yep, I think that's a legitimate question that the Raiders war room is going to have to go through. It would be nice to have Dante Fowler on the end, kind of pair him up with Khalil Mack and kind of do a bookend and get some pass rush in there. I think the Raiders secondary is got to be up there as one of the worst in the league. I mean, I love Charles Woodson. I think he's a Hall of Famer, but when the best player on your defense is 38, 39 years old, you probably have some issues. And so all of those things are definitely a factor, and I'm kind of hoping that if they do go offense and they do go wide receiver in the first round, they can kind of address those needs in the later rounds. And since they picked up Trent Richardson, there's really no need to go for a running back this early.
All right, what are you hoping for maybe later on in this draft? How do you hope this draft falls for the Raiders?
Yeah, so I'm same thing in each round. Anytime that Reggie McKenzie can trade down and add more picks, I'd be all for it. And I really think that Derek Carr kind of saved Reggie McKenzie and gave him another year at least. So I'm hoping that any trading down that they do would be for talent in this year's draft as opposed to down the road. I just don't think he's got that much time. The biggest needs for the Raiders, like I said, is secondary, and I think you could always use interior linemen on the offensive side, and then their defensive line. I mean, they tried to fill a bunch of holes last year with some older, aging veterans just as kind of Band-Aids, and they kind of cut loose a lot of those guys. So, I mean, the Raiders have got a lot of spots they can fill up, but if they bring in someone like Amari Cooper, kind of get things going on the offensive end, then, I mean, defensive line and offensive line, but man, they could go back to back secondary picks, and I'd be pretty happy too.
All right, Monty, we'll talk to you down the road.
All right, thanks, bud.
All right, next up in the Superfan Super Mock Draft at pick number five, it's the Washington Redskins. Dante Fowler Jr., the outside linebacker from Florida, was the pick there. I'm joined now by Sam, our Giants superfan, as our Redskins superfan has been indisposed for the time being. What do you think of this pick here, Sam? Are you scared as a Giants fan?
Yeah, I mean, I like Dante Fowler. I was hoping he would drop down to the Giants at 9, but it's an easy pick for the Redskins if he lasts this far. They lost Brian Racco in the offseason. He was their main speed rush threat on the outside. So Fowler slots in beautifully to the outside linebacker position in that defense. And, you know, I think this is the first pick the Redskins have since that RG3 trade. So I think in this draft they're just targeting the best players because they need talent on both sides of the ball. And that Dante Fowler, I think, is the best player around at this time.
So Mel Kiper Jr., one of my favorite sources, has also listed the offensive line as a position of weakness. So far, not a single offensive lineman off the board. So they really had their choice at number 5. Do you think it's more of a value play here that they could still wait and get a decent offensive lineman maybe on day 2?
Yeah, I mean, when you look at the Redskins, one offensive lineman isn't making them a playoff or a Super Bowl contender this season. And with the lack of young talent due to the fact that they traded all their draft picks over the past few years, I just think you have to take the best player available for at least this draft and maybe even the next draft to just build some talent. I don't think you can reach to grab for a position of great need if you're for the Redskins right now. And also, if there was a lineman available at 5 that fit, you know, that was the number 5 talent or number 6 talent in the draft, then I would say, you know, grab him. But even Brandon Scherff at number 9, for the Giants pick, I'm not comfortable with taking him. I don't know if he's an elite talent to be a top 10 pick in the draft. So the Redskins are in a tough position. I mean, Snyder has handcuffed them with that RG3 trade. That's really, you know, you can really see the effects of that 3 years down the line.
All right, Sam, I have a feeling we're going to be talking to you again very soon. So hold that thought.
Okay.
All right, folks, at pick number 6, we have our first trade of the Superfan Super Mock Draft, and it is the New York Giants with one of our newest superfans, Sam Jenkelowitz. Sam, what brings the Giants here in at number 6?
Well, at pick number 9, there wasn't much elite talent left, and after talking to my superfan from the Jets, Andrew, we decided to swap first-round picks, and I sent him another third-round pick for me to move up to the 6th slot to select wide receiver out of West Virginia, Kevin White. He's an elite talent, and there wasn't much left at position 9, especially not in the position the Giants needed. I was hoping that one of the 2 elite pass rushers would drop to me, but didn't happen, so I had to make the move and get a player that I thought would contribute right away.
Nice. So you are not a believer in some of the other guys that sort of fell down in that position, Randy Gregory being one of them, Shane Ray being another one. You're not buying it.
It's not that I'm not buying it. It's just with the Giants, and especially with Steve Spagnuolo, the new old defensive coordinator, he plays a 4-3, and those guys are a little small to play defensive end in that scheme. And the outside linebackers in his 4-3 don't really pass rush as much as Shane Ray and Randy Gregory would want to, and meant to maximize their effectiveness. So if Vic Beasley or Dante Fowler was still around, that would be an easy pick for me. It's just those 2 guys at number 9 don't really just aren't people that I think are going to contribute to the Giants under this system and this regime. But yeah, and also Shane Ray and Randy Gregory, they're a little small to play defensive end. It's just it didn't make sense at number 9 for me.
Now, wide receiver, one could argue, not exactly one of the biggest needs for the New York Giants. Why wide receiver here?
Towards the end of last season, Odell Beckham was obviously contributing as one of the best wide receivers in the league, but he's going to see more double and triple teams and more creative coverages now that coaches have a season's worth of tape on him. And now with Victor Cruz being hurt, that's an Achilles injury with a small, shifty guy like him. You don't want to rush him back. You kind of want to give him as much time to recover as possible. And Kevin White, one of the things the scouts love about him is he can run those West Coast quick slants from the West Coast system and make those plays turn those plays into home runs and score touchdowns on even a quick slant. And in Bob McAdoo's system, he loves getting the ball out of the quarterback's hand quickly. So it's the right fit. It's an elite talent. It didn't cost me as much as trades in the past for elite wide receivers has the Julio Jones trade, where the Falcons had to give up, you know, many first-round picks. I didn't feel like I wasn't sacrificing much by giving up a third-round pick, and Kevin White's, I think, a transcendent talent that is obviously worth it.
So how you end up losing a third round pick to move up to this position. How do you hope the rest of the draft falls for you and the Giants?
I hope that we can get a linebacker or a safety in the second round. There's a couple of names that I like, you know, to kind of shore up that part. And then rounds 4 through 7, let's just take a bunch of linemen and hope at least one of them pans out. Our line isn't as bad as people think from last year because there were a lot of injuries, so hopefully a healthy line negates the need to pick one up in the beginning part of this draft. But that would be my plan for the rest of the draft.
All right, Sam, we'll talk to you later on down the road.
All right, thanks, man.
Coming in now at number 7, it's the Chicago Bears. We have Tom Shannon. He is the super fan. And Tom, you have selected Danny Shelton, defensive tackle out of Washington. What were your thoughts here?
Well, the Bears need everything. They're switching to a 3-4 defense. If you go through the offense position by position, you can make an argument that they should be selecting at virtually every position. So that left the field wide open for me. And as a matter of fact, my first choice was to trade back. And had Kevin White or Amari Cooper lasted to number 7, I think there was a market for that pick. Certainly Miami probably would have been interested, a few other teams. But they were both fine. And I did let every team know that I wanted to trade back. I got a nibble. One team wanted Vic Beasley. So I went ahead. The best guy available on my board, and that was Shelton. He was number 4 behind Dante Fowler, Leonard Williams, and James Winston. It's kind of a controversial pick. There are a lot of experts out there who think that Shelton's a 2-down run stopper. He's an ideal nose tackle. I think you need that in the 3-4, but I think he's more than just a blob of fat that sits in the middle of the defense. When I watch this guy on video, he's mighty quick, especially for a guy his size. He does provide some pass rush. He even did it a little bit at Washington, where a lot of times the defensive ends or the outside linebackers would come around and provide rush on the outside, and the quarterback would step up into the pocket right where Danny Shelton was collapsing it, and he'd step up right into his arms. He got quite a number of sacks that way. So I see him as more than a 2-down run stopper. I see him as a mighty big, mighty quick guy. You hate to make big comparisons, but Vince Wilfork is not out of the question here as a comparison for him. That would be the top end. That would be if he really realized his potential. But I like him. I like the pick. I was perfectly happy with it. And I think he fills a big need in the middle of that defense. They need defensive line help, arguably more than any other spot.
How are you hoping the rest of this draft falls for the Bears?
Well, they can take the best guy available in every round, as far as I'm concerned, and that's exactly what they should do. I think in that respect, it should fall really well because there's no excuse for them not to get value at virtually every pick. There is one position that needs help where they're probably going to have to reach some, and that's quarterback. I think virtually everyone agrees that Jay Cutler is not the future here. He's going into his 10th year. He is what he is. And I think they'd like to upgrade that position, but if you're going to get a starter at quarterback, you're probably going to want to take one in the first 3 rounds. I took Garrett Grayson in the 3rd round of our mock draft and was mighty happy to get him there. I think arguably he could go in the 2nd, and if the Bears took a quarterback in the 2nd round, you'd get no arguments from me. I think it's a reasonably big need. So that would be the one spot where you may not be able to just wait and take value. You may have to just take a quarterback where you think you can get one.
I'm not sure the quarterback of your future is in this draft, but I do think that wide receiver is definitely a position to need, and you can certainly get a quality wide receiver in the 2nd round.
Up and down the draft, no doubt about it. You can take the best guy to fall. There's all kinds of speed. Arguably, Dorsett could fall into the 2nd round, into that area. I know he's moving up, but I don't think he's going to go in the 1st round. So he'd be a good choice for them, a nice speedy guy who I think would fit in well with them. They've gone in the past with a lot of bigger, slower wide receivers. Brandon Marshall was in that mold. I think they can afford to get a little more speed now. They did that because it fit Cutler's preferences. He likes to throw the ball up for grabs, and he's good at the back shoulder throw to a lot of those guys as well. But I think I think that with Adam Gase taking over as offensive coordinator, they're going to look to him to throw a little bit more with anticipation. They're going to look to him to split zones more. I think some speed at that position is called for. And I think a guy like that could fit really well.
All right, Tom, we'll talk to you down the road.
All right, great. Thanks.
Pick number 8 now in the Superfan Super Mock Draft. I am joined by the Atlanta Falcons Superman, Tim Jester. Tim, you chose out of Clemson the outside linebacker, Vic Beasley. Talk about him.
Yes, sir. Super stoked that Beasley fell to me, to be completely honest. He's the guy that I've wanted for about a year now. You know, I remember when we were doing the mock draft last year, that was my target for this coming year. So I've had my eye on him for a really long time and, you know, really happy that he fell to us, you know, especially with Dan Quinn's new defensive regime. He's going to be able to come in and be that game changing, you know, pass rushing linebacker that we definitely need.
So we've talked earlier this season here on the Next Fan Up podcast about how I believe the Falcons have had one of the more underrated off seasons. And I believe pass rushers, definitely something that they've sort of addressed with some, you know, lunch pail type guys. Any thought at all about maybe another position, maybe wide receiver?
You know, as far as wide receiver, I didn't want to reach and take a wide receiver this early. We have a game-changing wide receiver, and it's not been enough to get us into the playoffs. The issues that we're having, you know, are the pass rush. And, you know, if I were to go any other position here, you know, I would look at running back. But if I were to look at running back, I would have wanted to trade back. And, you know, with Vic Beasley falling to 8, you know, I felt that it was more important for us to shore up the pass rush with, you know, as close to a sure thing as, you know, I think we could have gotten in the draft and going that route instead of another weapon for Matt Ryan, especially with as deep as wide receiver, you know, seems in this draft.
So I'm assuming you're hoping that as the draft falls later on in rounds, you want to probably stick to the offensive side of the ball more than the defensive side of the ball. Or could I be wrong there?
I have an idea where I want to kind of rotate, you know, go defense, offense, because there's a lot of holes on the team. You know, we need a tight end that we can plug in because Levine Toilolo is garbage. And, you know, I want to be able to get a free safety to compete with Charles Godfrey because, you know, the rumors are that we're trying to move Desmond Southward to corner. And if we're able to do that, you know, really shore up the corner with Southward on one side and Desmond Trufant, you know, one of the up and coming corners in the league, you know, on the corners. And then, move Robert Alford to the nickel slot, then, you know, all of a sudden our defensive secondary is a lot better. So, you know, I mean, there's a lot of things that I need to bounce around and, you know, pick up, but you know, there's a lot of deep talent in this draft based off of the research that I've done. So hopefully we can find something that'll work.
Nice. All right, Tim. Well, we'll be talking to you later this season and good luck to you and the Falcons.
Absolutely. Have a good one, guys. Rise up.
All right, now at pick number 9, as the Superfan Super Mock Draft rolls along, we've got Andrew Hirsch for the New York Jets. Andrew, you were supposed to pick earlier. We already spoke with our Giants Superfan at number 6. You've traded down. What was the deal there?
The Jets received the Giants' third-round pick, which was at 74 overall, to move down 3 spots from 6 to 9. And at that slot, the New York Jets select Randy Gregory, the defensive end outside linebacker from Nebraska.
Nice. So you ultimately went with another defensive player for the Jets, although one could argue most of your issues right now are on the offensive side. Why focus on the defense here?
I just felt there were other prospects later in the draft I could get that could fill those offensive holes. We did a pretty decent job in free agency and trades and picking up guys like Brandon Marshall and filling in some guys at running back too, like Stephen Ridley. But there's been a hole on our team even for the past 5 years at the defensive end outside linebacker spot. We've to get pressure, we've either had to blitz or we've had to have our guys like Muhammad Wilkerson or Sheldon Richardson get pressure up the middle. We haven't really had that outside pass rush. And Randy Gregory, before he had this whole issue with grass smoking, he was one of the top five guys in the draft. And now to get him at number 9 and pick up an extra pick, I think it's the value was too good to pass up. I would have been thrilled with him at taking him at number 6.
Now, if the opportunity arose, if both the top two quarterbacks weren't off the board, do you see any of them as an upgrade over perhaps your best starting quarterback in Ryan Fitzpatrick?
Well, absolutely. The way this mock fell out was probably the worst thing that could happen as a Jets fan if we're going to stay put, because the two quarterbacks are gone and Amari Cooper is gone and Dante Fowler was gone. Dante Fowler is a guy I would have taken at number 6, and Gregory, I'm a little more shaky on, but to be able to pick up an extra pick and still get him at number 9, I felt that was the optimal move. But if Mariota's there on the board, absolutely, I in a heartbeat take him at 6 and you plug him into play in day 1.
Nice. All right. Well, folks might be surprised, but we're going to hear from you again later on in part 2 of the Superfan Mock Draft. And I'm going to want to talk to you about that. So talk to you later. At pick number 10, it's the St. Louis Rams, and we are joined now by their super fan, Mr. Jared Murphy. You have gone and chosen offensive tackle out of Iowa, Brandon Scherff. Seems a little bit of a no-brainer here, right?
Yeah, looking at the Rams' needs, I was basically deciding between either Devontae Parker or the best offensive lineman, and I basically thought Scherff was kind of the lowest floor type of player, very solid. I think he won the Outland Trophy for the best lineman and was a consensus All-American. So basically the Rams have huge needs on the offensive line. Evan Silva actually just tweeted, the lack of urgency by the Rams to put capable starters on their offensive line is pretty amazing and alarming. Easily the worst O-line on paper pre-draft. So the Rams basically have 2 starters and 3 holes. So Scherff can play either guard or right tackle, both needs for the Rams. So I really like his physical play. His toughness, he actually tore his meniscus in a game last year, continued playing in the game, had surgery, and then 5 days later played in the game. So he's definitely tough. He's and he's not a project like last year's Greg Robinson. He can start day 1. So yeah, basically just, even though I really liked Devontae Parker as a prospect, I just had to go with Scherff because the Rams had just such a need there.
So, wide receivers, another position of need. Was there any thought about going wide receiver here, or do you think the depth is good enough where you can come away with somebody on day 2?
Yeah, Parker, I really like Devontae Parker. I was hoping that Amari Cooper would be available, but of course he went pretty quick. Kevin White, I'm not as high as a lot of people. But he was gone anyway, so it didn't really matter. But I was thinking there's a lot of good wide receivers, like maybe Devin Smith or Nelson Aguilar or Philip Dorsett. Even maybe Perriman falls to the 2nd round or Jalen Strong. I think there's just a lot of good wide receivers that could fall to the 2nd round. It's just such a deep draft. And I feel like more teams in the NFL need help on the offensive line than wide receivers. So I think people may be surprised at the number of linemen that get selected in the 1st round.
Well, not to give away too much of the Superfan Super Mock Draft, but in part 2 of this experiment, you're going to hear a lot of offensive linemen go pretty quickly and quite a rush. So I think the other super fans sort of hold that same opinion there about the offensive tackle position. What are some of the other players you're hoping to get as the rounds progress here?
Well, not to give away too much, but I actually went offensive line again with my second round pick. I took AJ Can. And I just kind of viewed him. He's another tough physical mauler. He started over 50 games. He's team captain, just really solid guy. And I even, my thinking was kind of like how a couple of years back, the 49ers took Anthony Davis and Mikey Potty with their top two picks, and the Jets taking DeBrickashaw Ferguson and Nick Mangold with their top two picks. And in both those instances, their offensive line just really got transformed to one of the top units in the league. So I'm hoping that with taking Scherf and Cam, that could really solidify solidify their line. And yeah, like you said, the people are really snatching up the line and they're going quick. So although it would have been nice to take a wide receiver with one of those two picks, I feel like if we can't protect the quarterback and open up running lanes, it doesn't matter how good your other weapons are, because they won't be able to get the ball anyway.
All right, Jared Murphy, he represents the St. Louis Rams. Thanks for hopping in, and we'll talk to you again as the season goes on.
All right, thanks, Bob. Have a good one.
All right, at pick 11, it's the Minnesota Vikings. Their super fan is indisposed at the moment, and I forgot to call another super fan to get on this call with me. They picked Trey Waynes, cornerback from Michigan State, obviously filling a major part of their need. Mel Kiper absolutely agrees with this pick. He has Trey Waynes in many of his mock drafts as well. Corner, definitely going to be a position the Vikings are going to need to rely on. A lot, of course, will depend on what they do with Adrian Peterson and how that all plays out. But at this point in the draft, I think it's still too early to go with one of the running backs. Plus, running back being deep this year, they can address the running back position later on in the draft. Trey Waynes, good pick here by the Minnesota Vikings. Moving on.
Picking now at number 12, it's the Cleveland Browns. I'm joined by the super fan, Rob Kohler. Rob, you ended up choosing Kentucky outside linebacker Alvin Bud Dupree. What were your thoughts here with the Cleveland Browns?
Well, a lot of the draft boards had the Browns selecting a wide receiver, and while that is an area of need, I just didn't feel that the wide receivers that were left, especially Devontae Parker, there's a big drop-off, and there's a huge amount of wide receivers in this draft. There's a lot of depth. So I went for the next best, which I thought had more value, which is Bud Dupree. The outside linebacker position for the Browns, they were 27th in sacks last year. They really needed to get an edge rusher, and this really, really fills that in for them. They're hoping that this could be their Alden Smith, but without the guns and the drinking and the drugs.
Speaking of all of those great things, what are your thoughts at your quarterback position right now?
Well, it's kind of hard because there's pretty much only 10 to 12 elite, I guess, quarterbacks out there in the NFL right now. And so everybody else kind of in a holding pattern, including the Browns, who are on the lower end of that holding pattern. But with Josh McCown, I think that they're hoping that they can use him for have him be serviceable for 1 to 2 years and really build up their defense and the rest of their offensive weapons until they can get a shot at somebody either through a free agency pick or through the draft that comes that falls to them.
So you are in total belief that it's over. This Johnny Manziel thing is not happening in Cleveland.
No, it's over for him. I mean, I think that you could see from him, A, from his play on the field, B, from him going to a rehab and off the field. I think they're going to use him as a nice backup, and maybe they'll trade him for if they get any kind of draft pick out of any other teams. I don't think any other teams would give you anything for him. I think by the end of next year, he's cut or he's just sitting on the bench, as a third stringer.
All right. Well, the Browns do have a lot of needs. You are picking again at number 19. So we'll talk to you again in the second half of our Superfan Super Mock Draft.
All right. And just remember, every other team, if you feel bad about yourself, just look at the Browns. You always make yourself feel better.
All right, now we're at pick number 13. It's the New Orleans Saints. Chase Mallet down there in New Orleans. I know I didn't do the French any favors there with that. But you have gone with defensive end outside linebacker out of Mizzou, Shane Ray, here with pick number 13.
Yes, sir. Saints' biggest need by far is a pass rusher. I feel like that let us down more than anything else on the defense last year. while Gallet was still pretty good, Hicks, who was widely thought to be a breakout candidate, just didn't show up. It came out later that he played through a lot of the season hurt. So you got to respect him for that, but we still need production from the position. And both he and Cam Jordan are free agents after this year, so it's time to look toward the future. Shane Ray was really the last one of that top tier of pass rushers left to me. I was really hoping that Bud Dupree would fall down, but Cleveland snatched him away right before I could get him. So Shane Ray is a pretty good consolation prize. I think what Rob Ryan is going to enjoy most about him is his versatility. He can play in pretty much any front. He could be outside linebacker, 3-4. He can play one of the ends on a 4-3 front. And I think Rob Ryan's just the kind of guy that's going to be able to draw up something to get Shane Ray one-on-one to get to the quarterback, especially when he has Gallet and Jordan demanding so much of the offense's attention.
So, I mean, despite the fact that you may not have gotten the first choice guy that you wanted, you still ended up getting a guy that filled the need, and so you're pretty happy with this pick.
I'm pretty happy, Pod. I think that's going to help out the defense a good bit. I mean, in 2013, at least, Jordan and Gallet were a handful, and to add a third piece to that puzzle, that's pretty fun to think about the possibilities.
All right, Chase, good job, and we'll talk to you again down the road.
All right, Pod, thanks, man.
All right, before we get to this next pick, I just want you folks to know we recorded these earlier in the week, so some news occurred that may or may not have changed the reasoning behind some of the picks. It should be noted, though, that Dolphin Dave was very keen as to what his team was up to and what they were doing, and then they went out and they signed wide receiver Greg Jennings. So when you hear this pick, he says he would still make this pick even if he had known about the Greg Jennings signing before he made the pick during the mock draft process. But it does make for a crowded wide receiver core. Tune in, you'll see what I'm talking about. And at pick number 14, we have the Miami Dolphins. Their super fan, Dolphin Dave, joins us now. Wide receiver is a position of need, and that's exactly where you went with your pick. Wide receiver out of Louisville, Devontae Parker. I'm taking it you're very happy with this.
Yeah, we're very happy that he fell that far. Most mock drafts have him going somewhere between 10 and 12 now, so... Yeah, I was pretty pleased to get him at 14. When you compare our receiving core this year with Landry already in place, Jarvis Landry, we got Stills, now Parker, and Jordan Cameron at tight end. I think it stacks up pretty well to what we would have had we kept Mike Wallace, Hartline, and Clay. And, you're probably paying this group probably less than $10 million for this coming season, as opposed to the bloated contracts that Wallace had, and we're paying Hartline pretty well, and then Charles Clay had that big offer from the Bills we would have had to match. So I don't know, even without the contracts, I think I would have taken this group ahead of what we could have had.
Any thought at all to helping out that offensive line and giving your quarterback a little bit more time to throw to some of these wide receivers?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I mean, wide receiver is a need, but I think we have probably a greater need at guard. But with Brandon Scherff off the board, there's rumors that they're interested in Lyle Collins. He's coming in for a visit, apparently, but I'm not reading too much into that. He might have been the only other option at that high. We had some needs. We have a need at cornerback probably, too, but Trey Waynes is gone. So I think that's also probably a little too early for guys like Marcus Peters or Kevin Johnson.
How are you hoping the rest of the draft falls for the Miami Dolphins?
Well, like I said, we still have that need at guard. So I expect them to get a veteran somewhere later in the off season, but we need to address guard for sure. Probably pick up a linebacker. There's some back and forth as to how they want to shuffle their linebackers right now. So I'm thinking we want to find a good inside linebacker. And let's see. Yeah, probably, like I said, also cornerback would need to be addressed later on too.
All right, Dolphin Dave, you're in my division, so I'm sure I'm going to be talking to you quite a few more times as the season progresses. Sure.
Absolutely.
At pick number 15, the San Francisco 49ers will select defensive end out of Oregon, Eric Armstead. I am joined now by our Rams superfan, Jared. Jared, our 49ers superfan, was indisposed, so he couldn't join us here. What are your thoughts here on the defensive end pick for the 49ers?
Well, I could say I'm married to a pretty strong 49er fan, and most of my friends and family are. So I living in Northern California, I do have a little bit of knowledge on the Niners, but I really like this pick. I mean, if you look at most mock drafts, you see Armstead going to the Niners, and with Justin Smith looking like he's going to retire and Ray McDonald being released, the 49ers could really use the DN / 5 technique for their scheme to kind of eat up blockers and allow their good pass rushers like Alden Smith, Ahmad Brooks, and Aaron Lynch to rush the passer. And Armstead's definitely a physical talent. I think he's 6'7", and he played on the Oregon basketball team. And he actually just gave up basketball, and when he did, his talent really took off this last year. So, I mean, I guess the one knock on him is, as one scout put it, he's a first-round talent who often plays like a fourth-round pick. So he kind of has a lack of production, and there's times where he takes off plays, but he was constantly double-teamed last year. And he's just scratching the surface. I think he's a redshirt sophomore, so he's young. He's got a big frame and can definitely one of the physical freaks of this draft. So kind of a classic boom or bust type of candidate.
You know, interesting that linebacker, especially inside linebacker, is listed as a big need for the 49ers. Not a lot of linebackers here. I'll give you guys a little sneak peek at the rest of the Superfan mock draft. Not a lot of linebackers here went in the second half of this draft. There was one who went at number 31, and he was an inside linebacker, but perhaps at 15, a little too early to go with the inside linebacker. The Niners definitely have a situation to address there at linebacker for sure.
Oh, yeah, definitely, especially with the sudden retirement of Chris Borland and Patrick Willis, they definitely could use some help. And with Navarro Bowman coming off injury. But, yeah, I agree. It's kind of a little early to take inside linebacker in terms of value, and they could maybe address that in later rounds.
All right, Jared. We will be talking to you again later on in this draft.
All right. Sounds good, Todd. Thanks.
At number 16, the Houston Texans. That's right, the Houston Texans. They choose running back Todd Gurley out of Georgia. Our Texan superfan indisposed at the moment. I'm joined by Rams superfan Jared. Jared, I don't know about this Todd Gurley pick here. It doesn't seem like running back is that big of a need position this early in the draft.
Yeah, I agree, Pod. Running backs generally, especially the last couple of years, have either flamed out their draft in the first round, like Trent Richardson, or the better ones have been drafted later on. So it's interesting. When he made this pick initially, a lot of people were pretty surprised by it. And, yeah, I mean, Arian Foster's pretty good, so it seems kind of like a luxury pick. However, in recent mock drafts, I've seen him going – as high as number 6 to the Jets, and I don't know if that's I don't know if that's actually true or just the mock draft people are getting bored with the same picks over and over again. They're trying to get clicks by saying something controversial, but I mean, you can't deny his talent. It's just, I think the two biggest risks with taking him in the top half of the first round is just his injury history and just kind of the short shelf life and disposable nature we've seen with running backs. I mean, especially with your team, Pod. I mean, you guys seem to have a new leading rusher just about every month of the season last year, and you're always able to find somebody. And with the Texans' zone blocking scheme, I'm sure they could find somebody pretty good in later rounds. But, hey, I mean, you can't deny the talent at pick 16.
I mean, honestly, at this point of the draft, the way that things have worked out here with the super fans, you know, the two top wide receivers are gone. The three top wide receivers are gone, and Amari Cooper, Kevin White, and Devontae Parker. So maybe rolling the dice here on Dorrell Green Beckham might be a little too high, may not necessarily fit Bill O'Brien's taste buds the best to go with a guy who's got sort of a red flag off the field sort of issue. The pass rushers all seem to have been dried up at this point as well. They went pretty quick and pretty early. Those would be two of the main positions that the Texans were probably thinking about at this point. And of course, trading down, it always requires a second partner to make sure that that happens. I think you nailed it on the head. Gurley seems to be sort of a luxury pick. And if you're picking at number 16 in the draft, that's right in the middle. I'm not sure you have that luxury.
Yeah, I agree. And even it's kind of a no man's land in terms too, because there's a lot of debate over who the number four wide receiver is, like you mentioned, Green Beckham. And then there's also some people say Perriman or Jalen Strong. And it's kind of a little early to take one there. So, yeah, I think they'd definitely be a prime trade back candidate if the draft fell this way.
You know who I think will be our ultimate voice of reason here? Zach Vader. Zach, who should the Texans draft?
Dorrell Green Beckham.
So it is said, so it shall be done. Thanks, Jared.
Yeah, thanks, Pod.
All right, folks, we're going to stop it right here for now. This is the end of part one of the Superfan Super Mock Draft. Hey, if you've got some questions, comments, send us an email, nextfanup@gmail.com. You can catch us on Twitter at NFU Podcast. We're also on Facebook. Just search Next Fan Up. We're a nice big group there on Facebook. Send us your questions. We want to hear from you. Coming up, it is part two of the Superfan Super Mock Draft. Tune in then. Talk to you then. There you have it.